Now turn to number 383, and we will sing verse 2, 3, and then 1.
May we keep in memory all that thou hast said. May we truly
received of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come.
Young people, this morning we would lead together the hippo song. In the beginning, God made the sea and the forest filled with trees, made the mountains up so high, and at the top he placed the sky. Fingerprints are everywhere, just to show how much he cared. In the middle, he had some fun and made a hippo that weighs a ton. Hip, 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 hippopotamus. Hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us. Hip, 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 hippopotamus. Hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us. It's a fun song, but it also reminds us that things that are created were created by the Lord himself, and he made it possible for us to do that. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We will worship him alone. So hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great
This morning in our lesson, we're continuing a series regarding the uniqueness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in regard to this matter, what about Jesus and his body? Jesus and the body of Christ are as important, inseparable they are, as is illustrated in the Bible. As we study God's word about this particular theme, we cannot man to say the spiritual body of Christ, which is his church. And in regard to this body of Christ, it is stated in Ephesians 4 and in verse 4, there is one body. Notice along the way with the others that are listed there, one God the Father, one Lord Jesus Christ, one Spirit, one calling, one hope of your calling. This is the idea of the one faith and the teaching of the Lord's will and the Lord's way in our lives. When we talk about that one faith, it is stated in Jude chapter 1 and verse 3. When I gave all diligence to write to you, brethren, of the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. The uniqueness about this, the one faith of the Lord and the one teaching of the Lord, is the fact that we ourselves need to embrace that body of Jesus Christ. That one body of Jesus Christ, so stated. Now, there are many congregations, and the Lord knew that. There were congregations listed at Rome and at Ephesus and Colossae and Thessalonica, for example. And in the book of Revelation, seven congregations are named there, such as Sardis and Laodicea, Pergamos, Thyatira. Those congregations are listed there to tell us that there were various congregations of that one body that came about. But each one of those congregations of the Lord was teaching that one body of faith, that one body of teaching. Practicing salvation from sin is that way. And it's the way of the Lord to have that uniqueness about His body. Notice when Jesus came to talk and teach about the way of the Lord, He talked about His church being built, His body being built. And in Matthew chapter 16, He said to Simon Peter and the others that were standing there on that occasion, I will build my church. And the gates of, the word is Hades there, the gates of death will not prevail against it. He was alluding to the fact that although I die before this actually occurs, although I pass away before this actually occurs, it is nevertheless the case and the truth that I am going to be building my church. The church of the Lord is going to come about regardless if my death does take place. When Jesus said that and noted that, the disciples could not conceive of it being possible that He would be passed, that their leader would not be there with them. In fact, when this did take place, they were very fearful. And they went into an upper room within themselves, and they were discussing these matters. What will we do now? What shall we do now? What shall we say to others now? Jesus, of course, appeared to them. And in His appearance to them, He reminded them of what He had taught them. And He said to them regarding the Spirit of God, He will come and He will remind you of all the things I have said unto you. As a result of that, they could be people who followed God's way and God's will as they live their daily walk of life. No wonder it would be then that we read there in Jude 1 and verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write of you the common salvation, it was needful to write of you this common salvation and exhort you that we should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. The faith, the teaching of the Lord for salvation, the teaching of the Lord for true worship, the teaching of the Lord for true livelihoods that we live from day to day. What kind of lifestyle are we to lead? What kind of activities are we to do? The Scripture tells us that we're to be people who practice a way of truth and a way of righteousness. That we're to be people who do that way because it's the way the Lord would have us to live and behave. As we behave in a righteous way, doing what's right, and saying what's right, thinking and doing what's right, then we find ourselves pleasing in the sight of God. Notice that Jesus said His judgment would come against those who sowed those idle words. And in Matthew 12, when He noted this, of every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. He was speaking to those who afterward would follow Him. Would they continue to speak those words that would be idle words in life, of no value at all, words that were filled with profanities and idolatries and the like, and immoralities and the like? Or was He speaking to them regarding the words that the faith would teach them that they should practice as they go from day to day? Let's ask the Lord to forgive us on a day-to-day basis about the things that we think and say and do. Let's ask the Lord to be with us to have the strength to recognize more of His Word as we practice that in our lives. And today I'd like to emphasize not just the words that we say and the things that we think and do, but the things that we worship with God. In the New Testament church, there was the worship of God that is identified. And in 1 Corinthians, in reference to this, we have three chapters that are involved. When you have 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and you have 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13, and you have chapter 16 in the book of Revelation of 1 Corinthians. And in that we find the worship of God that was honored, and the worship of God that was not acceptable to him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read where they were eating and drinking condemnation to their souls. The uniqueness about the church or the body of Christ in its worship to God is that there's a certain way to worship and a certain way that should not be done. In that practice of worship, it is noted that they were to be people who honored the Lord and his right way. Jesus had in his public ministry met with them and talked with the woman at the well there in John chapter 4, describing to her that God is a spirit and seeks true worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4 verse 23. If we find that true worship in spirit and in truth, we'll find the worship of God. And that's what he said in verse 24. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There are many ways in which people bow or claim to bow before the Lord. Bowing before him is the right way to do, and do it honorably and righteously in their ways of life. That's the way they're to do. And as a result, they worship the Lord of heaven, honoring him, and they're blessed as a result of that. But if they find themselves doing the way that the brethren at Corinth were doing, they were eating bread that was condemning them. They were drinking fruit of the vine that was condemning them, because neither one was done from the spirit of bowing before the Lord. They were bowing before themselves. They were enjoying the bounty of that meal. They were doing what the historians generally say to us was a practice of a thing called love feast. When they brought their foods together, their potlucks together, they insisted that one another bring that, and they insisted that they have that done quickly so that they could then get away from that. Others, as service, were coming later. They couldn't get off in time. They couldn't be as the service began. And as a result of that, they were not there to participate in this. And they were told to tarry on one another and await for others to arrive. Don't make this a quick in and a quick out situation. Make this a situation where you come in to worship the Lord, you bow before him, you find yourself enjoying the memory of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ and the hope that you have now for freedom from sin. And this is unique to the spirit of these foods. It's not just bread. It's not just juice. It has reference to the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And as a result of him doing this, teaching this, these brethren at Corinth had been taught that. But they now practiced differently. And as they practiced differently, they were eating and drinking condemnation to their souls. The opportunity to be people who worship the Lord involves more than the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 11, beginning verse 14, reference is made to those brethren who were part of singing and praying and teaching in words that were not understood. They had the power at that day and time to speak in languages that they had never studied. And they were utilizing some of that as they worshiped, as they sang, as they preached, and as they prayed. They did not think about those who came to visit their services. There were people who came to visit their services that did not understand a word about what was being said. Oh, they understood it enough to know that it was serious. The way that they worded their words was serious, and it was important, and it should be served and should be done. And they knew that they had some sense of responsibility to it. But they did not know what it was because they did not understand the words that were used. As these brethren spoke to one another in this way, none of them gave out the words that could be understood. What did they say? Well, they said things that were foolishness to these who came to visit. Paul says that they'll leave your service and they'll be leaving it, saying as they leave, these people are insane. They're mad. They don't know what they're doing. We do not understand what to do. We don't understand the seriousness of it. But if words were used so that they could understand, and an interpreter present if they spoke words that were not understood, then clarity would be there. And because clarity was there, the people would leave with an idea, the Lord loved me. The Lord wants me to be His child. The Lord wants me to be a part of this worship of the Lord in spirit and in truth. The Lord wants me to be honored in my right ways of life. The Lord wants me to say the kind of things to my fellow man that encourages them and not defeats them. He wants me to tell the truth to others rather than telling falsehoods to others. As a result of that, I can practice this way of life and I'll be honored by the Lord. He'll bless my day-to-day activities in life. What a blessing it will be. These are wonderful words that I'm hearing. But these folks came to services there at Corinth, had none of that. They didn't understand what was being said about the beauty of the songs being sung, because the songs being sung were sung in some of those languages that they didn't know. They didn't know about Jesus loves me, this I know. They didn't know about the old rugged cross and the ways of the things. They did not know about the songs that were being sung. The brethren had a responsibility, didn't they? When they came to worship the Lord, to speak in those languages that could be easily understood and easily of great influence to the people's lives. That was a great need that was coming up, and the brethren at Corinth were asked to be a part of that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul begins by saying, "The things that I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so do you." That was a big famine that was coming. That famine was a terrible thing that was going to be for brethren as well as many, many other people. As a result of that, they had sent the message from Jerusalem out to others, a spiritual message for conversion and for their healing and for their soul's sake. Now then, they were going to be in need in a very physical way during a time of a great and serious famine. As a result of that, the brethren were asked if they could make contributions to it. And the brethren at Corinth and the brethren at Macedonia were examples one to another. Brother Macedonia gave out of deep poverty. They had nickels and dimes that they could contribute, and they did. But they did this in an unusual way, Paul writes. He said they gave themselves to the Lord first, and then they gave themselves to this need. As a result, they gave something that the Lord said He would bless. He would cause that it would be of help in the intended amount that they needed there in their region of Palestine. Thus the brethren were to, on the first day of the week, lay by in store as God has prospered you. That there be no gatherings when I come. Paul said in regard to this, if there is not a gathering to be done, it'll be because you contributed at this time. And if you do this in a fair and efficient way on the first day of the week, that funds will be there and be available and be useful. But if you do not do that, I will still go among you. I will gather from among you, because the need is so serious and so great. Once I explain it to you individually, surely you will recognize the opportunity to serve and be of help. As far as we know, the brethren gave in wonderful abundance, because in 2 Corinthians in the 9th chapter, we read about that contribution. And we read how the brethren there at Corinth gave in such a way that they gave, and not only did the brethren over there thank them mightily, but a lot of their friends, a lot of their associates, a lot of their neighbors praised the Lord because they had had such an outpouring of help and aid from the brethren at Corinth. Unique? Yes, it's unique about the worship of God. Unique about the body of Christ being of service to others in times of need. And what a blessing it was and is for us today. Let's think about our worship to God in His way. The way that we sing songs. The way that we think in prayer. The way that we donate a contribution. Is it just a matter of coins being put into a basket or plate? Or is it a matter of our prayers go with the donation that's made for good to be done? If not, are we not following in the same problems and difficulties of the brethren at Corinth, who were not partaking of the Lord's Supper? He says, you're not partaking of the Lord's Supper when you do this. You're partaking of your own supper. When the brethren preached and prayed and sang in words that were not understood, did they do that for the benefit of the souls of people around them? They did not. They were singing this way and doing this way and giving people the impression that they were just insane. Out of mind, out of control. Who'd want to come back to a service like that? Who'd want to misunderstand anything said because they didn't use the words clearly to be taught? And the brethren, well, we know what happened in the contribution that they gave. The brethren of Macedonia gave out of deep poverty. They were an example, and the brethren at Corinth had more to do with, and they gave in an abundant way. As a result of that, their praise, but not only the brethren, but praise by friends of the brethren who received help and aid. What a blessing. As we think about that, let's think about the way that we worship the Lord uniquely with a prayer life abiding. And as we sing this song of invitation today, please remember that things are ready for you to obey the gospel if you've not yet done that. If you've not yet repented of your sin, been baptized into Christ like the people on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 or so, you can do that today. Things have been prepared for you. And the hope is that you will find yourself saying in heart, I want to be a part of this unique body of Christ and the worship of God being done in spirit and in truth. As we stand together and sing this song to invite, will you not come?
Come home, come home, come home, ye who are weary.
This evening is opportunity for us to sing together, and I'm sure we'll have technical for some of the really church tonight and our potluck time together. Oh my. And if you come tonight, you'll have opportunity to have a little bit of this to take cheese. Yes, it'll be here in little chunks. You'll be a part of it. The whole spell, you'll be in a warm place to be a part of this and everything. So hope that you'll come tonight at 6 for the singing time and for our potluck together. Unless weather changes dramatically, we've got ice on the road, then it'll be hell tonight. We look forward to it very much. God bless you. We trust that every heart has applied these particular principles of thy holy word to true and faithful worship to thee. We're prayerful for the congregation here in every good way. Bless us with the health that we need. Bless us with protection as we need from day to day as we drive about and go about our activities for thy cause. And look forward to this service this evening as we sing and as we participate together in this worship tonight. May it be a wonderful occasion for us all. In Jesus' name, amen.